Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. For fabulous ideas and great savings, the winter sale is not to be missed. Now on, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is the text number, Joe at RT.ie and 0818 715 815. Just a little warning, we're going to be talking about Dublin City Centre and what's on the streets. It might be a bit, not upsetting, but a bit tasteless, so to speak, if you're eating your lunch. So bear with us. But Siobhan contacted us, and I think she might be speaking on behalf of a lot of people, because I heard this from a lot of people over the Christmas period. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
You say, I went straight home and I will never, ever darken the door of central Dublin as long as I live. I was so embarrassed. What happened?
That's right. Yeah, so just on Sunday, right? So that's the first week of January. Should be peak January sales. I went into town. I don't go in there normally because I know it's not great, but I went in there. I was intent on spending quite a lot of my limited amount of money there for a special occasion, quite a lot. And it was disgusting anyway as I tried to get into Trinity Street car park, the amount of rubbish.
Trinity Street car park is off Dame Street in Dublin in the shadow of Grafton Street, just to give it a location for people. That's,
absolutely. Extremely central, right? So those little streets were absolutely appalling, right? With the amount of rubbish blowing around, the rain was beating down, washing the rubbish and detritus everywhere. It was absolutely disgusting, right? It was worse than a shanty town. I'm sure somebody in a shanty town does something about rubbish, right? But anyway, so left there and on the stretch as you leave Grafton Street going towards College Green, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's called. It kind of looks at Trinity. It's extremely central. It's the epicentre of Dublin.
Well, the Provost House in Trinity is number one Grafton Street. So that's where we are, yeah.
Okay, right, we're there. So I clocked an enormous lump. Oh. Trigger warning, disgusting warning, and I really put it out there for everybody because we shouldn't have to talk about this on national TV. But there was a huge lump of human waste there. Right.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, I saw it in time and steered around it. Okay. But I'm outraged. I can't get that vision out of my mind. And I'm so appalled that it's come to this, that this is what we have in the most central, iconic part of Dublin City. Right. And I know it's not new. And I shouldn't just come in from the suburbs once and give out about it. But I can't go away without making my little attempt to try get everyone to pull together, because it's not fair to people.
And just to make you have been living in Dublin for what, 3 decades, so you're well used to the city. And you say this is the most between the rubbish and the human excrement on the main pavement. This is why you will never go back into the city centre.
No, I won't. And I was saying, when I came here at 17 to go to college, I remember huge banners up, and it was from like the Retailers Association or someone that said, excuse the rubbish, right?
Mm.
There was no rubbish then compared to what there is now, right? I mean, when they were upset about rubbish 30 years ago, if they were to see it now, what would they think? I know Dublin, but I haven't been in the centre much in past years. But
this four English accents, English young women, and they were obviously tourists because of what they said. What did they say?
Yeah, just near this site that I saw four young West Country English girls, and they looked at each other and said, are we all thinking the same thing? Will we check out of our hotel and change the flights? So I can't say that's what triggered it, but something about their trip to Dublin caused them to cut it short and just say, this is a kip, we're going home. You know, so totally don't blame them. And it's all over. I don't know if you guys have a flavour. I'm sure you guys are well connected. Like TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. This is all over about what a kip Dublin is and don't go there, right? I kind of wanted to support Dublin. That's kind of why I went in there. But when you can encounter a site like that, the thousands of people that had to walk past that site on Sunday, it's just not acceptable.
And you use the phrase shanty town. That's a bit strong, isn't it, Siobhan?
No, it's mild. You know, it's mild for what's in there. Mm. You know, in medieval times, people probably had a channel of a stream of water running down the street, at least, to contain these things and wash it away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. It's worse than medieval times in central Dublin. And the premier shopping part of Dublin, probably, right? Not to take away from any part of Dublin, but...
No, but in fairness,
Yeah,
when you say premier, it also means the shops are paying extraordinarily high rent. They're paying extraordinarily high rates. You pay an extra premium if you're within the Dublin city centre business area. You pay more rates than pro rata than anyone else. Everything bought, especially in restaurants and pubs, there's a fair whack of it in terms of excise, especially on alcohol. There's a fair whack of it going to the state. As I say, there's rates, there's everything else thrown in. And then if you want to put seats outside your restaurant or your bar, you have to pay extra for that. Yeah. So it's not that the state, through the city council, are not harvesting a lot of money from these businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just not okay. I don't know how the retailers put up with it. I'm sure they're not wanting to put up with it. I'm sure they do what they can. But it's just not fair. And I was so embarrassed in front of all the tourists and everything, right?
Just to be clear, like, I know people with dogs, they do carry plastic bags, but it's a completely, and they know there's an act to doing it, isn't it, with the plastic bag inside it. But there is, nobody is going to bend down and pick up a significant amount of human excrement, are they, on the street, apart from the health aspect of it.
Absolutely. There's going to be
Dublin City Council, I heard Richard Shakespeare on over the Christmas, and he was quite defensive about the state of the city. That he said he was at a conference and some official from another city said, "How do you keep the city so clean?"
Yeah, look, you know, I don't like to point fingers at people, and I know everything is very difficult. And I know there's always a knock-on problem. For every problem, there's some knock-on problem up the line that causes this, right? But guys, when you can walk up Grafton Street onto College Green and encounter London. By the way, this wasn't 9 o'clock in the morning. This was at least 1:30 in the day, right?
Okay.
They need patrols up and down of cleaners, whatever. And I don't want the poor cleaners to have to deal with this.
I'm thinking of the DCC, and I spoke to one of them there just before Christmas because he had a brand new machine, and I was mesmerised by it, and we had a great, showed me how it worked. But that was on Capel Street, but he sits in it and he drives up and down all day. And they're great machines. He doesn't have to touch anything, thank God. But did you see one of them up and down Grafton Street by any chance? You know the ones I'm talking about, the Hoovers, the brushes.
Yeah, I do. And look, I can't say that I took in everything that was around me, but if nobody had been past us by 1:30 on Sunday, you know, there's a problem.
Okay.
And others would say, Siobhan,
there are no public toilets in Dublin city centre.
Do you know, yes, but I think probably the issue here is people who have not even got the capacity to responsibly take care of things, right? You know, but yes, that's something that could be looked at. But, you know, guys, I repeat,
when we say, and it's come up again and again and again, it's a perennial, on various radio programs, the absence of public toilets in Dublin City Centre. When you say it, the council then say, well, they become loci for antisocial gathering and drug dealing.
No, that's fair enough. And to be honest,
the fact that you've lived here for 30 years.
Yeah.
Is this the worst you've ever seen it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Joe, you're a proud person. Did you go to Trinity, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see this back in your days?
I can remember, though I've seen it recently.
Yeah,
I can tell you that off Talbot Street.
So it's, yeah. Yeah, mm. but, yeah, but down near Trinity as well. And, you know, look, I said to the researchers, look, this is my attempt. I think of some poor couple maybe who have worked hard in America, in Chicago or somewhere, yeah. all the days, dreaming of coming to Ireland, right? Saving all their money. And I think of all the tourists, the Spanish, Italian yeah. tourists who love Ireland, want to love it, whatever. They should not be encountering this.
And now
it's
what,
not
the,
fair.
What the council want to do now is, as well as paying your taxes for tourists, paying every, when they buy material here, or buy buy a coffee or buy a pint or whatever, the council want to introduce a bed tax in Dublin for tourists. Every tourist will pay a fiver or a tenner a night.
These councils need to be told. What well, Siobhan, how you how, know what's outside their doors then?
Somebody texted to say you see the same on the streets of Chicago.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, there's skid rows all around Chicago. I didn't think we'd have skid row in town. So yeah, there are maps of places to avoid in San Francisco because you're likely to encounter this. We're going to have to start creating maps of them for Dublin and just basically avoid Dublin.
You said the map of Dublin would be all of Dublin.
No, well, avoid Dublin city centre. I won't be back.
Yeah, but in the survey yesterday, which is the Conor Horgan's survey, the Irish Business Against Litter Eyeball, they say that it's the north inner city that's the problem.
Yeah, Dublin's, I'm sure it probably
Dublin's
is.
North inner city remains the dirtiest area in the state.
Nace and Kildare is the state's
cleanest town. North Inner right. City, bottom of the pile, pardon the pun, that's what I'm reading. And Dublin city centre is just second bottom of the pile.
Right, yeah. Now
that is pretty damning, isn't it?
Yeah, look, guys, they know there's a problem.
It's the wealthiest council in the country, mainly through property tax, because of the property tax in Dublin is so much higher than everywhere else. The property tax goes to Dublin City Council, so they're the wealthiest council. And a survey says the Dublin North Inner City, the dirtiest place in the country, and Dublin City Centre, the second dirtiest place in the country.
Yeah. And look, I'm sure they're dealing with a lot of factors there, absolutely, right? But guys, this is an iconic place, just beside Trinity, right? They need people up and down there, scurrying up and down repeatedly, non-stop from morning to night to keep our central, absolutely premier thoroughfares clean of human excrement. It's just not okay. I protest.
So, did you, I don't know how you do, but did you get on to Dublin City Council?
No, I didn't, no. Saying it gets straight on to you.
By the way, I rang Dublin City Council about something over Christmas.
Yeah.
But they said to me, you have to email it in.
Yeah.
You can't
there
ring.
You go.
And the guy it was about traffic lights or something. It was something pretty serious, I thought, in terms of danger.
Yeah.
And he said, you have to email in. Stay with us, Siobhan. joe@rt.ie.
Okay.
51551 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Come back to the state of our capital city. In a short while, but I want to bring in Anya, who's contacted us. Anya, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You live in the Meath Diocese, so to speak.
And
I do indeed. This is an issue that has come up before in life. I think it's about 10 years ago now. My memory is, and it was about the fact that I think it's the only diocese in the country where they don't allow eulogies about the deceased during the Mass. And I remember during the conversation, one of our callers said, she made the point. I didn't know how to pick her up on it because I'm conscious of people at funerals being upset. And she said, we weren't even allowed to shake hands in the church, now, at the back of the church. Now, as it happened, the Meath Diocese took us to the, made a formal complaint to the broadcasting, wherever it was in those days, and they won it. It said there was no evidence, but so this is so I'll be extra careful because they, and they've every right to take a complaint, and we have been on to them. Anyway, you still, the rule still stands in Meath. No Diocese of Meath, no eulogies. What does that mean, Áine? It means what?
It actually means, Joe, that your member of your family cannot get up and pay a tribute to your loved one on the altar.
Can the priest read, if I gave the priest the eulogy, God forbid, a CV of my late father, could the priest read it out and say Peter was a great man? And
well, yes, they can do that, but in a lot of cases, with the way the priests have been moved at the moment, Joe, around the country, I don't know if you're aware of it, a lot of the priests don't know the parishioners.
Okay.
And in a lot of cases, the funerals I was at, the priest did not know the person who had died.
Okay.
And but that being said, I've been at a funeral in Bray recently. Absolutely beautiful priest. Lovely eulogy from the family, and his favourite county song, "Son, I'm Taking Him Out." And then another funeral before Christmas. The latest now for us in our diocese, Joe, is we are not allowed to place a photograph of our loved one on the coffin.
Mm-hmm. This is in
the diocese
of Meath. Yeah.
Yes. Now, my friend, my very close friend, Joe, was buried in 2014 on a very cold day in January. And her son had to have a PA system set up at the grave.
To deliver.
Because he could not speak about her. Yeah. That was on January 2014. Now, something has to change because this has gone over the top. Not being allowed to put your loved one's photograph up on the coffin. I mean, what's going to come next?
Well, they do say, in fairness, and we've asked for a spokesperson to come on air, but they do say, in fairness, that you can put a photograph on a little table beside the coffin.
Yeah, you can put a photograph down below the coffin on a side table in front of where they distribute the incense at the end of, at the Mass. But when you walk into a church, Joe, that's packed and you have the coffin up at the front and the photograph, the first thing you see is the loved one, the lovely, beautiful picture of the person you've lost. But you'd have to go up to the top of the church where I was recently before Christmas and to see that picture down on that table. And when they take off the incense, they put the picture down flat down on the table. I mean, what's wrong with the tradition of always having a picture of your loved one on the coffin? It's bad enough not being able to speak about them.
Mm.
And people have taken their loved ones out of this diocese.
Have they?
To the Dublin Diocese, Joe, and had their funerals done so that they could do what they wanted when saying goodbye to their loved one. Now, everything is respectful. It's not that anybody's doing anything disingenuous or, you know, they're not doing. I buried my own sister in September, but Lord mercy on her. And the priest came in from another parish. And when I say to you that the discussion after the Mass, Joe, was more about the priest than my sister, nearly. I mean, he was just wonderful. He lifted us all so much. Mm-hmm. And I just said to him, if we had more priests like you in this church, the churches would be packed.
And you're saying that won't happen in the Meath Diocese because
they're not
allowed. This is a statement from the Diocese of Meath. The Diocese of Meath has published appropriate and sensitive guidelines on its website concerning the celebration of funeral liturgies. Parishes in the diocese have not banned the use of photographs of the deceased from the funeral mass. The diocese expresses its support of family hurt by such an experience and advise anyone who's been aggrieved to make contact directly with Bishop Tom Deanahan's office in Mullingar if they wish. But they do clarify that later on that the photograph or whatever is on a small table beside the coffin.
Yeah, they clarified later on that it was down on a table beside the coffin. So the question
so
is,
what
why
they,
no
so in fairness,
and
them, just for clarity's sake, when they say to us, parish and the diocese have not banned the use of photography of the photographs of the deceased from the funeral, they banned them from the coffin.
Yeah.
But not from the... As detailed in Meath's Diocesan funeral guidelines, the delivery of a eulogy is not in keeping with the solemnity of the Mass and is not permitted within the church. However, it is a matter for the family if it decides to arrange for a eulogy elsewhere, i.e. at the graveside with PA.
Right,
gear.
Joe. So the question is, Joe,
yeah.
I have buried some very good friends in 2024, unfortunately. Now, those funerals have been all over the country and I walk into the funeral and I hear beautiful music. I see the son or the daughter getting up, speaking beautiful words about their family. I see the gorgeous picture on the coffin. I come back to my own area and I see this going on. So why one? Why not? Why in one diocese and not in the other? What is going on in Meath that Bishop Smith introduced this initially, which he did? He brought it in.
And Bishop Smith
and they have carried it on.
From 1988 to 2018.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
It interferes with mentioning the deceased and talking about the deceased in that way disturbs the solemnity of the funeral liturgy.
My God. I rest my case, Joe. I have no comment to make on that. I mean, I hope people ring into you and because there are people out there who are extremely hurt over this.
Are there, yeah?
You know, and they wonder why people are not going to the church. I have my generation now, I'm in my 60s, and a lot of my friends are...
But it is the church, and the church, I know they can vary them, obviously, as you say, from diocese to diocese, but the ultimate decision is with the diocese, and the diocese of Meath say no eulogies.
And why are they allowed, if the rest of the diocese are... Why have they made that decision when other dioceses...
Furthermore,
Joe, sorry for interrupting you, Joe. Also, Joe, let me ask you a question. The church, who is the church? The people are the church, Joe. The priests in a church are the representatives of the man above or the higher power, mm-hmm. whichever you wish to call it. These people are the representatives. The people are the church. They've always been the church. You know, mm-hmm. I mean... To come along then and go down to the church and be told, sorry, you can't put that photograph on the coffin. No, sorry, you can't speak about it. You have to go out in the depths of winter, get a PA system and try and speak at a grave on a freezing, wet, cold and frosty day mm-hmm. when it's always raining, as you know, usually in the winter at a funeral. You're standing in the rain at a funeral.
Well, apparently when Bishop Michael Smith laid down these guidelines many years ago, he quoted mm-hmm. Cardinal Ratzinger. And as you know, Cardinal Ratzinger went on to become Pope. He quoted Cardinal Ratzinger was based in the Vatican for many years. He said the modern approach to death is the materialistic trivialization of death. I presume that's what they meant, where the person is mentioned again and again and again.
Joe, I don't think I'm not being disrespectful to you now or anything, Joe, but I
don't
think
you're that.
Getting. No. I mean, my point is why. Why Diocese of Meath, and then you go to a funeral in Bray, you go to a beautiful funeral in Longford, you go to a beautiful funeral in Cork, you see all of this going on, and then you come back to your own part of the diocese, you go to a funeral of your nearest and dearest, and you're not allowed X, Y, and Z. What's going on in the church that one diocese can do this and the other can't? It should be all for one. It should be the same in every diocese. It needs to be changed, Joe. Somebody needs to speak up. And I hope that people in County Meath ring into you because it has made me so angry, the most recent funeral with no photographs been allowed.
What people have, because I mentioned this earlier, people pointed out, and I'll put a codicil in here, was the funeral, it's a year ago now, of former Taoiseach John Bruton. And anyone, I watched the funeral, it was extraordinarily moving, extraordinarily well organised. I actually wrote to John's widow, Finola, afterwards, because I knew John for many years ago, and she sent me back a lovely letter. So this is nothing to do with John, per se,
okay.
But it's the listeners pointing out that at one point, during John's funeral in the Diocese of Meath, the padre who gave Father Bruce Bradley spoke, and he spoke about John Bruton as if at one stage he checked himself and said, oh, this homily is turning into a eulogy. Now, and by the way, I don't think anyone would agree John Bruton was an exceptionally good man, one of the virtuous of whom today's first reading of the Book of Wisdom speaks. John was honest, honourable, patient, persevering, courageous and committed, willing to lead, even if it meant going against the grain. As the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said, humble and unassuming, a man of integrity and truth. I could go on with so much has been said already, and there will be well-deserved eulogies and tributes to come. It is not my function to add to these, although I willingly would. And I'm trying to find the actual phrase that this person refers to, that the priest actually says. And by the way, the bishop was sitting beside him. The bishop stands over these rules. Now, I don't know, is that a eulogy? Is that a eulogy? Have you heard?
Well, I've heard priests talk about people who they know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because some of the family might be nervous about getting up. You know, I've seen priests speak about people that they did know in the parish for years. But as I say, the parishes are moving the priests around so much at the moment. They're all over the place because they don't have enough priests. And we all know that. And sometimes the priest comes in and he hasn't a clue about the person that died, because he's brought in from another parish to say the Mass. Mm. And, you know, he does his best if given it. But in one case,
you know, in fairness to you, because I'm going through the homily. Mr. Bruton's funeral, and again, please hear that codicil. I said that this has nothing to do with the very strong personal qualities of John Bruton. Courage, integrity, decency. I'm quoting from the homily, which they say was not a eulogy, because eulogies aren't allowed. But this is his personal qualities and significant accomplishments have been rightly celebrated. His remarkable political career, starting at the age of 22, his eventual leadership of his own party, the successes of the unexpected Rainbow Coalition he led in the 1990s, his patient, pioneering, cooperative part in enabling a cessation of violence in Northern Ireland, his champion of the European Union and Ireland's place in it, his invaluable role as EU ambassador to the United States, his later work with the IFSC, and so on. Now, that to me reads like a eulogy. By the way, a correct eulogy. I didn't know
what
that was.
But what I would say to that, Joe, is John Bruton was an ex-Taoiseach. He was the leader of our country. And, you know, I understand and agree with absolutely everything that priest said or whoever did. Yeah. But my point is this, that families like to speak about their brother or their mother or their sister or their husband or their daughter or whoever it is. Families want to talk to the people who have come to that church.
And you're saying at the end of funeral services in Meath, you said the conversation as people exited the church is more likely to be about why was there no eulogy rather than why were we not told about the achievements of that person, no matter where the achievements reside. And rather people are saying, the conversation, why was there no eulogy? Because there's eulogies without everyone else. Okay, stay with us.
Joe, just to say to you, most recent two funerals were the shock horror of the photograph. This is now what they've done, like the actual comments. And now look what they've done. They've taken the eulogy away from us to speak about our loved one, and now they've taken the photograph down onto a side table.
Liam is in Limerick. Joe at rt.ie 51551. Liam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I'm not going to take you too long now. I agree with this lady here at the moment, because I'm working at the moment. I'm a delivery driver, but I'm parked up.
Good lad.
But there, about 6 or 7 years ago, my aunt passed away in the Midwest area, That's all I say to you.
Okay.
And the priest at the time, he wouldn't allow my family, my relatives, say the eulogy off of the pulpit on the day that my aunt passed away. They made my family relatives stand outside in the month of November. They had to put a little marquee up outside the house, up outside the church, to do the eulogy outside the church. Now, and the rain was absolutely flogging down on top of people that afternoon. It was the month of November. I'll always remember it. Now, a couple of weeks previous to that, another person died in the area, and he was involved with a local rugby club. And he was involved with the rugby club all his life. Mm-hmm. And his wishes were to have the rugby club flag draped over his coffin.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed, his family weren't allowed to do this either.
Okay.
Now, this is absolutely shocking. And it goes back to the Catholic Church. dictating to people what they can and can't do. But a couple of years after my aunt, like, let's say 2 years ago, this particular church, this particular priest, relatives of his passed away within a couple of weeks of each other. But yes, it was okay for that priest in a different parish in the Midwest region to go up and do a eulogy for his parents on the church at the time. But it's not okay for him to be do it in his own church, in his own parish, you know. So I think it's a case of this particular priest was dictating to people what they could and couldn't do inside in his church, but it's okay for him to do it in other churches. But it goes back to the Catholic Church dictating to people what they can and can't do inside in the church, like, you know, and it's the system has to change, like, you know. People, it's the church, to me, I always grew up with the church is belonging to the people of the people that's of right. the parish, and the, yeah. And that was always my beliefs, and it's still would be my beliefs.
Okay. I'm conscious that you want to get back on the road, and conscious of all people making deliveries day in day out from on post to Amazon to Brennan's bread to the milk. Well done, and safe travelling above all else, Liam. Thanks, Liam. Safe travelling. You could go and have a humanist ceremony in a different venue and bring in.
Yeah, but sure, maybe people don't want a humanist service, Joe. Maybe they want the Catholic Church, as that man said, he grew up in it. I mean, three of the family of our family spoke at my sister's funeral, and the music was very dignified. It was lovely and beautiful eulogies. And what I want to do is call on the Archbishop to have a chat with the Bishop and to talk to this Bishop about what's going on in Meath, because, like, it's back to the Catholic Church again. You know, what can I say?
Yeah, but the Catholic, like, I know you keep saying who owns the church. Well, women don't own the church because they're not allowed.
No.
You know what I mean? The church is the church. The church is the Vatican. The church is the. Anyway, Conor O'Connor.
I'll bring you back in a sec.
I promise.
Conor
O'Connor, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are things?
Your father died, unfortunately, 2 years ago.
Yeah, Father Tom O'Connor, yeah. I'm from Kentstown, just outside Navan. So proud mean meet family.
And
we were in a similar position. We presumed that we could do a eulogy because Dad had won numerous All-Ireland titles in handball, and he had a great devotion to St. Peregrine. He helped so many people with cancer who obviously, you know, thankfully are with us today, and they came to the funeral, and we were told, no, you're not allowed. Now, fortunately, we had his nephew was a priest, and he said the mass first. So in a roundabout way, I suppose, he kind of did a eulogy for Dad, because he knew Dad, obviously, personally, and he was able to speak about it. Now, it wasn't a formal eulogy, but in a way, because, you see, I suppose there's so many parishes out there that have new priests coming every couple of months these days. I don't know what's going on. There seems to be new priests joining parishes all the time. And they don't really personally know these people who have passed. And it's very hard for them to have a heartfelt eulogy. Now, I did the offerings, and I suppose I took it. And look, at the end of the day, he's my dad. We were so proud of him. And it was very, very hard not to be able to say all the good things that he's done in his life, but we use the offerings of the handball of the St. Peregrine relic, and I use that as a kind of a way to speak about all the good things he had done in his life. So I would suggest, and I'm not saying that people should do it, but that's a way of kind of getting that message across about your loved one in the offerings. Now, they can't, like, the diocese can't say anything about that, because that's personal that we are bringing to the altar.
That's a silent and symbolic eulogy. It's not a eulogy.
Yeah. Exactly. I know it is, but at least you're given the chance to show all the good things that your dad, your mom, your sister, your brother have done with their lives. And because there is people that are going to come to some funerals, and they may not know your relative as well as anybody else, so people love to sit and listen to these stories about people of the past and all the good things that they've done. And this is your chance to give that person a rightful send-off. you know.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I totally agree with the caller.
Yeah, you totally agree with Anya. Okay, okay. Yeah. Let me bring Rebecca in, who's been holding. Rebecca, a recent experience at a funeral in Meath. Unfortunately, it was a funeral of someone close to you, your mother-in-law.
Indeed. Hi, Joe. Yes, it was my mother-in-law. She passed away at the beginning of November. Mm-hmm. And we held her funeral in Meath. And she was born, lived her whole life, died in the same town. And as my husband said to the priest as we were arranging the funeral, the people in this community have known her whole life. Yeah. And would, you know, are here to want to hear about her and how they touched her life and how she touched their lives. And he was a very, you know, kind man, new priest. Okay. And as he said, new to the parish, and he said, it's not my rule, it's, you know, the rule of the parish. And he was able to, you know, take some of our comments and integrate them into his sermon homily. But the thing is, it's not the same as a member of the family or, you know, a close friend really testifying about the life of this person and their connection to the community. And as, you know, one of your previous callers said about the church being the people, such a role of being in community is to witness the lives of others and to have them mirror your life back. And so for the church to stand in the way of that and make it basically impersonal, I just found very surprising. And unfortunately, I've had a year this year where I've been to a number of funerals here in Ireland and in the U.S., and that's such a big part of it. It's really where you feel connected to that person, where you can, you know, get a laugh through tears sort of feeling is what comes through the eulogy.
As one of our callers pointed out, I think it was Liam, in Ireland, I wouldn't fancy doing a eulogy in the open air today, would you, in Ireland?
Oh, gosh. No.
One of the benefits of the church is it is a building. Invariably, it's a heated building. It is indoors. It does have a built-in PA system. You only have one funeral.
Exactly, Joe. Okay. And as you said, we were wanting to thank the community. And so many people supported her in the end of her life. And we had to do that, you know, shouting at the graveside. And no, you know, it's not the same.
Thanks, Rebecca. Joe at rt.ie. Connor Clear. Connor. And condolences, Rebecca.
Joe.
Sorry. Yes.
How are you doing? How are you, Joe?
Good, thanks. Yeah. You have an option for people.
Well, I've been listening to the conversation. Just as an independent funeral celebrant, this conversation kind of, you know, resonates with me because as a funeral celebrant, you know, we're able to offer services to people, especially being an independent celebrant as well. We can reflect any beliefs and faiths that a family might have. But the most important thing, sorry, that I just wanted to say to you is the idea that things like having photographs and eulogies especially are so important for families in the catharsis and the release and all of the emotional impact of what a family are going through. And I am so sorry for any family who has to be told that they're not allowed to have a eulogy, you can't have a picture. Because I think what we offer, hopefully, is the idea that a funeral where you can really put the deceased at the centre of the ceremony is the start of what we hope is a healthy journey of grief. And I'm so sorry for anyone who hasn't had that experience, because there's a whole community of independent celebrants all across the country who can create personal services for you, but also at the same time include religion. You know, very often I'm asked by families, you know, can we include a prayer? It's absolutely, you know, because we know how important that is.
And I know your point, but a lot of people have a lifelong and indeed a generational connection with the church, and they want to go to a church. They want to where their mother or father or sister or brother might have actually sat. I know my mother sat in the same seat every year in St. Matthew's for decades. Every day, nearly. But
indeed.
Every weekend.
Indeed. What's interesting, Joe? Can I just say, in my experience, for a long time, you know, I was, personally, my journey, I've been doing weddings. And for a long time, I was intimidated by the idea of doing funerals because I thought, you know, if they're not going to go to the church, it could be the funeral for somebody young, it could be something tragic. Mm. I thought, God, I can't do this. But in my experience, what I have found, and it's always a lovely moment, when I sit with the family and I say, look, could I get a sense of your loved one's beliefs? Very, what I hear so often.
Well,
I
think they are, because I was at a humanist ceremony recently where our own Shay Bourne here was to celebrate.
Shay. Shay's fantastic. Yeah, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. But actually, Joe, can I just...
But I'm saying, very conscious at that. I was answering my own question as I asked it. But members of the family were allowed to get up and speak about the deceased. Two or three of them,
actually. Absolutely. Yeah, but what I was going to say was very often what we hear, what I hear in my experience when I ask about beliefs and faith, is they say, oh, no, he or they or she... They have a very strong faith, but they've just moved away from the church. So could we include prayers? And that's the moment where I go, absolutely. So we include all different levels or types or amounts of religion in our services as well, when required. And just one other quick point, and I won't keep you, Joe. It's important to say humanism, a wonderful organisation here in Ireland, but humanism is its own thing. So people would often say to me, are you a humanist? Do you do humanist ceremonies? I say, no, I'm an independent celebrant, you know, and we will do ceremonies. So humanism, as great as it is its own thing. It's own category.
Just been pointed out to me a letter into the Irish Times. The funeral mass for Shay McGowan, the wonderful Shay McGowan, was a fitting tribute to a wonderful artist, poet and singer. What was striking was a liberal liturgy, a rock song, for an introduction to the psalm, I think that was Nick Cave, wasn't it? Multiple applause on every aspect with extraordinary readings chosen and performed.
Yeah.
The president in attendance with a packed church hooting, whistling, cheering and dancing at every remark, comment and appearance. I recall, says this man Tommy Morris, writing to the Irish, and I recall many other funerals when families were and are limited to strict religious so-called rules for everyone. Well done to those who secured their celebration of a wonderful bard, entertainer, R.I.P. Shane. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I keep getting these messages all the time. They're not from heaven, but the communications office of the Diocese of Meath or the Catholic Church have been on again. They won't come on. I feel like a ventriloquist dummy at this stage. For me to say again, you know, I've said it often enough, the photographs are not allowed on the coffin, but they are allowed on a table beside the coffin, OK? Now, if you want, you can't, you either decide to come on Liveline. Michael O'Leary comes on Liveline. There's no one... if you come on Liveline, I make these points again and again and again, but you can't... you can't be ringing in every 3 minutes saying Joe didn't make it clear that the caller didn't make it clear that the photos aren't banned in the church. They're not allowed on the coffin, but they are allowed on the side table. OK, that's... where is Marion Basto? Marion Basto.
Hello, Basto. Joe. Good afternoon.
Yeah, your point, please, Marion.
Yeah, I was at a lovely funeral last Thursday, of a neighbour. And they had a memory table, and that's the first time I heard of a memory table. You know, where the family bring up little pieces, little items that were very close to the deceased person. And there was a lovely photograph of the deceased man on the coffin. And I just thought it was lovely. There was his family sang, his son-in-law and his daughter-in-law sang "The Fields of Athenry" as the coffin was leaving the church, and it was beautiful. And I think his daughter-in-law sang "Criest an Chiel," which is a lovely hymn, through the Mass. But it was a lovely service. It was very uplifting. It was very sudden. The man's death was very sudden and very shocking to his family. But certainly his funeral Mass was lovely. And that was really all I wanted to say. Now, I couldn't see any point in not having a photograph on the coffin. What is
the
doing?
The photographs are not banned for... I'd be here till Christmas.
I'd be sent to
the Catholic diocese saying they're not banned on the coffin. They're put on a table beside the coffin.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as on the coffin. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of Catholic funerals I've been to.
And that depends. It depends on the diocese.
It's not a huge big photograph. It's just a photograph, a nice photograph, maybe current or not, of the deceased. Okay. And I think that's lovely. So I don't get it that they...
And apparently even within the diocese, different parishes can make different decisions, so...
Well, I didn't know that.
I can't go around doing a study of all masses.
I would have thought that would have come from the Bishop of Ireland, if there is such a thing as the Bishop of Ireland.
Yeah, prime, there is. Eamon Martin is the bishop.
There is. Yeah. But I would have thought he was responsible for making those decisions. And make it one way or another. Don't have it one way here and a different way somewhere else. It's just not good for families.
Yeah, that's. I think it's the difference and the different rules and different... places.
But why, if we're all in the Catholic Church, why are the rules different to a simple thing like a eulogy or no eulogy?
Can it be abused? Can the eulogy, when it has been abused?
I don't know. This funeral I was at, I forgot to say in my message, daughter read a eulogy, and it was obviously a heartfelt eulogy because she was his daughter. But it was lovely, and it was stuff some people didn't know, some people did know, but I just thought it was a lovely tribute to her father, seeing as she's an only girl. Just thought it was lovely.
Okay, points well made. Good Amina Margaret, Marion Bastow and Malahide. Anne O'Sullivan. Marion, maybe you stay with us, and Anne, you stay with us. For this point, your point, please, Anne.
I'll be very brief, okay. Joe. I'm here and I'm wondering where the Catholic Church will end if a priest has to give up his time sitting through eulogies. We're fortunate to have priests to come now and say our masses with the shortage of priests.
Okay.
So I never did agree with eulogies. And as I said to one of your researchers, long before my mother died 38 years ago, she requested in a jovial manner, in the mercy of God, don't let anybody go up in the altar and tell the parish what a great mother I was. She knew she was a great mother. So we have adhered to the religious aspect of your, right through our family, be it from grandmothers to grandfathers to uncles, aunts, sisters and brothers, Joe. And perhaps I should have turned off the radio when I started listening to today, because I can't possibly live a day without listening to you, Joe. Thankfully, you give us great insights into life. I'm at a loss, really. I could write a book after what I've heard today. I'll say a happy new year. Thank you for taking the call.
Now, Anne, bear with me just for one sec. Could you say, now you're still very young, you say you're 80, and you sound fantastic, rightly so.
No, I'm a couple of months ago, yes.
Okay,
I am, Joe.
But Anne, have you stipulated no eulogy?
Yes.
Have you? Okay.
Oh, I have everything stipulated. I have enjoyed the church for all the years, and it will be all simple and straightforward when he calls me home.
Okay. Because I don't know whether you ever saw John B. Keane's wonderful play, Big Maggie. It opens.
No, I didn't. I have John B. Keane out of my bookshelf at the moment to reread him, actually.
That's good. And at the opening of Big Maggie, they're in the graveyard. Big Maggie's sitting. She just buried her husband, Anne.
Yes.
And she's sitting. For whatever reason, she just wants to stand at the grave as the coffin is lowered. And she's sitting on a nearby flagstone. And the Undertaker comes over and says, "Now, Maggie, what would we put on the headstone? I'm thinking of beloved father, husband, caring, Christian, Catholic." And Big Maggie says, "There's enough lies written on the headstones of Ireland without me adding to them. Just put his name on it and his date of birth."
Now, Joe, if you have one brief moment, because this is the truth. I was in my sister's house, 18 years ago, and her husband had been at a local funeral.
Okay.
And he came in and he said, a person in the graveyard said, that person who went up on the altar and spoke about that man, it's not the neighbour I knew at all. I don't know where those words came out of.
So now
that is exactly the Kerry woman.
Thanks.
Joe, it goes on and on.
Okay.
While I'm quite... sad for the church that people think it should be a dance hall or a place to give eulogies, humanness or whatever, and let them include everything. I've been at cremations, I've been at eulogies, mm-hmm. and I'm a very, very proud practicing Roman Catholic.
Okay.
And once I enter the church, I don't need to speak to anybody, only the man above.
Okay. Very well put, Anne. Thanks indeed, and a Happy New Year to you, Anne, and many more.
And the same to you, and it's a joy to get to speak to you.
And it's a joy to listen to you, and a privilege, Anne, and all the other callers. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Gwen Layden, Gwen, your point, please, Gwen.
Hi, Joe. Joe, I'm just ringing to say, to speak in support of the Irish funeral and what the priests give us, and also about the eulogy. So, you know, firstly, you know, the Irish funeral is open to everybody. We have a very active parish, as most parishes are. Mm. And there's one priest looking after, say, three churches now in our situation, Donnybrook and Milltown. And the number of funerals he had, even over Christmas, along with all the masses. So I just would like to, for the priests of Ireland and for us to acknowledge that they're there Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, every day of
the year. I know
that,
but do they allow, the debate today, the discussion today is about eulogies. Do they allow eulogies in the churches you refer to?
Well, in our particular ones, they do. Yeah. But my understanding is that the reason for it is this. This is my understanding of it. That the eulogy is something that really is not really entirely part of the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
That we come in equal and we leave this earth equal.
Okay.
And so the idea is our Lord has made each of us just as good as the other. Now, the blowing of the trumpet of what you did in a lifetime is not considered part of going home to the Lord. He will judge the soul. And it will not be on the basis of anything that was achieved in life.
But as everyone, insofar as you know, Gwen, if I want a eulogy, regardless of one's status in life, and I take a point, we're all equal in death. Regardless of one's status, is everyone allowed a eulogy if they wish to have one?
Well, I think that some parishes have had to curtail them. I suppose it's on account of time. There could be other masses coming in afterwards.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that.
You know, there's those things. Like, there's the regular parishioners who want their daily mass at 10. There might be.
Okay, but you're saying. But overall, you were reticent about eulogies because people should not be blowing the trumpet, to use your phrase here, of the deceased.
No, I'm not reticent. I think they're lovely. I think they're absolutely lovely. I love a eulogy. But I'm saying that perhaps the reason that they're being curtailed is because the priest of that parish feels that, you know, the telling of all the great things that a person did is not really part of his part of the job. His part of the job is to recognise that that person is absolutely loved by God and is going home to God.
Okay.
And irrespective of what they achieved in life, he's sending them home.
But what do you think of the Diocese of Meath with a blanket ban on eulogies?
Well, it's not for me to say, but I'm sure, you know, that they're not blanket banning funerals. They're welcoming the funerals, which is very good of them. Yeah, but you know, we have to recognise that the priest is offering a funeral. I mean, you could criticise anything, but you can also see what is the offering. And then you can say, am I happy with that? And if you are, you could have the eulogy maybe in the pub afterwards. There could be go for a cup of tea and a sandwich in the parish centre as an option.
Deacons, I know they can't say a mass, but deacons can officiate at funerals, can't they? I was at one recently where a deacon officiated.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, Gwen, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed, Gwen Layden. Jared.
Just acknowledge the priest somewhat.
Here. They're run off their feet, to say the least. Jared Lovett, sorry for holding you. Jared, your point, please.
Joe, how are you?
Yeah.
I just want to bring a dose of reality into this conversation, please.
Yeah, okay.
Now, in my young days, there was no such thing as a eulogy from the altar. I was often at gravesides, though, where there were eulogies, not every single grave.
Yeah.
But, Joe, I think people should spare a thought for the unfortunate priests who have to sit through 45 minutes, up to an hour, I remember on one occasion, where somebody is droning on and on everything from his first day in school up to the time he was in secondary school and college and got married. And we have to listen to the whole long saga. And he's droning on there, boring the ass off us, the whole congregation. I remember on one occasion, I actually got up and went home, as did several other people in the congregation, I noticed. So I just want to...
And there was no guidance before, insofar as you know, Jared, there was no guidance before, and you keep it at 15 minutes max. I'll give you a sign, or the sacristan will give you, or the undertaker will give you a sign when you have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
There was none of that. This a fellow went. Is that the longest eulogy you've ever? Well, you said you left a few of them. It felt like longer than the person's life you were listening to. But you, is that the longest eulogy you've ever sat through? Was an hour.
It was up to an hour. Yes.
An hour.
I remember talking to a priest friend.
Were they reading from the man's or the woman's autobiography? A full hour.
They might as well have been. But I remember one priest describing it as listening to a drunken best man giving a long speech at a wedding, you know?
But Jared, you mentioned at the start, you know, back in the day, as they say, there was never a eulogy allowed from the altar. Well, you know what was allowed from the altar back in the day?
You know what
was allowed from the altar back in the day? The reading of women from the altar who were pregnant outside of marriage. That's what was allowed from the altar.
Oh, yes.
You know, in the good old days.
And you did a programme yourself some time ago there about a funeral, you know, with a criminal element involved in it. And
That was horrific. I mean, and the padre,
that's an extreme
in fairness,
case, you know?
And a condolences to the family of the deceased. Mm. But that was, and the priest, I saw him out again over Christmas saying, he deeply regrets what went on there, and they were quoting the person who died, God rest him. They were quoting his mantra, which is when he broke into someone's house, he said, "You know the score, get on the floor, give me the money, don't be funny."
That's right.
And Stanley nodded there. Yeah. Okay, Jared, yeah. Go to me the market, Slanga Fall.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Mairead ni Rín. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're in Kildare. Go ahead, Mairead.
Well, to be honest with you, I said there's about three people prior to me going on have also just about delivered my own thinking and sentiments.
Fine.
But we're basing it on the eulogy.
Yeah.
Now, fine to a degree, but I think it should be all left to the priest,
mm-hmm.
right? It should be left to the priest, because I find from my own experience, a lot of people from members of the family, they can go up there on the altar. They have never been up there before. They don't deliver very well, and it goes on and on. That's why I say previous speakers have already delivered, okay?
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy. We're not going to a show in the Gaiety.
Mm.
So I think it should be just kept, left all to the priest. He was a good man, a good woman, whatever. And because who is going to go up and say he was such a bad man? So he'll be always good, but the majority of people that would know him will know about it. And as regards the photograph, I don't know what the big issue about that is, because the majority of people will know what the man looks like anyway. So I think if it's on the table, I think that's acceptable. But that's just my opinion.
Okay. And well said and well heard, Mairead. Mairead ni Rín. Let me bring in James. Sorry for holding you, James. Sorry for holding Mairead as well. James, your point, please.
Yeah, Joe, my father died in 2022, and we didn't know the priest, but when we met him, he raised the issue of the sanctity of the Mass, and I had actually prepared a little booklet of the hymns and the prayers, which he reviewed.
Okay.
And he suggested two compromises, which actually we were very happy with and worked well.
Mm-hmm.
And the first was that instead of having a song at the end, could we have the song before the Mass? So my father came into the church to have a song and just have a hymn at the end.
But it wasn't. But the song was in the church, using the church's
lectern. It was in the church.
Lectern, using the PA,
correct.
Using the...
Okay. Yeah. And also to deliver the eulogy before he started the Mass. So, in fact, he sold it very well, because he said,
that's
instead
enough,
of being nervous be nervous through the whole service.
Yeah, very
you
good
get up
point.
First,
excellent
you talk
point,
about
yeah.
your father, and people who did, maybe didn't know your father get an idea what he was like. And once I sat down, he started the Mass.
Okay.
So I was relieved of the worry, and it worked perfectly well. And he'd obviously, he certainly was quite a conservative priest, but he put thought into this, and he came up with a solution that worked for everybody. And there was no dispute. We all got
okay.
what we wanted, but just reverse the order. And I just think if you put thought into these things, you can find a way, a
okay.
compromise that keeps everybody
okay.
happy.
Thanks, James. Deacon Frank Brown is in Temple Ogan, Dublin. Frank, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And is there a compromise here or a way round
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I think the Archdiocese of Dublin is a really good example. Part of the reason is the shortage of priests, obviously, and
yeah.
the ageing profile. Most of you know who go to a church or are involved in a funeral. You know, it can take hours for a priest if there's going to be a funeral mass, and there doesn't have to be a funeral mass. As someone said, you can have a ceremony in the church, or you can. Some people will have their ceremony at the grave
mm-hmm.
Or at the crematorium. But there's actually a couple of good documents on the diocesan website. And one written in 2016 is the guidance Archdiocese of Dublin Funeral Ministry.
Okay.
And this was produced with undertakers. And it's very clear. It actually talks about words of appreciation. And this this eulogy or words of appreciation is a new thing. And I help out in Rathfarnham, and I know the parish priest there. He loves when a family member prepares the guidance is tried to be less than 5 minutes, but 3 to 5 minutes, it sets the scene, particularly...
Okay, so it is allowed.
And,
okay,
yeah.
And is it encouraged? I know it's not discouraged, but is it encouraged?
It is very much encouraged.
Okay.
I mean, I'll be covering for. I work, as you know.
Well, I'm just stay with us. No, stay with us, Frank, Deacon Frank Brown, because Father Noel Campbell is on the other line. He's a priest in the Dublin Diocese. Father Noel, you say you don't encourage eulogies.
Oh, I didn't say that at all. No, no, no. I've never stopped the eulogy.
Oh, okay.
What I've said is that eulogies can differ. And there has to be some sense of, I mean, and we sit with people as we're preparing the Mass, myself or one of the parish team, and we'll discuss that. But the issue of loose eulogies all over the place, one has to be careful, because I've sat through vile language, filthy language being used, like as if it was
serious?
A drunken wedding rather than.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, look, that's a tiny minority. I think eulogies are okay. And I normally would have them, I think most priests do, after Holy Communion, when we're coming towards the final prayers of the liturgy. And in most cases, it works wonderful, because a member of the family will get up. I had a funeral only last week, and mm-hmm. a daughter got up and spoke beautifully of the person
okay.
who's dead. As regards photographs on the coffin, I don't know what the issue is about that. The memory
well,
table...
They say on the coffin.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't have an issue with that. I've never even passed a comment about
mm.
it, only I heard it on your programme. The memory table is a wonderful idea, because that's at the very start before we begin the liturgy properly, the mementos of the person's life, and that can be religious or a sewing machine, it could be anything at all, and nobody, no, that's a very
okay.
nice thing. But the eulogy, yeah, the best thing for a priest celebrant to do is to speak with family members. I'd say to them, look, the eulogy, 2 or 3 minutes is enough. I mean, they talk about priests, and I'm probably one of them, you go on too long and you're only going on for 4 minutes, and people say it's 20 minutes. So, you know, you can pack an awful lot of words into 1 or 2 minutes. But I think people should stop getting excited. The church itself and the priest, he's there, as the Latin says, in persona Christi. The priest is there celebrating the Last Supper. Jesus Christ went to his death and rose from the dead. That's what we're saying. And that's what we're saying is going to happen.
What do you think of a blanket ban in one diocese, specifically of eulogies?
I missed the first part of your problem.
Okay.
I don't even know what diocese you're talking about.
Well, it's the Diocese of Meath.
I
thought it was well known.
Oh, there are some Meads. Okay. Well, I don't
brought
know
in by Bishop
is.
Michael Smith in 88. Okay. Just,
yeah, well, I
but a
blanket.
I'm saying it's a blanket ban. We're told.
Well, I think that's probably going a bit far. But that's only my personal opinion, by the way. But I don't. I've never blocked anything like that. An odd time you might have to make suggestions to change something like that gentleman just said there a few moments
ago. Yeah, okay, but you wouldn't be prescriptive
and
in that sense.
Your common sense will prevail at the end if it's properly explained, but the church is a place of prayer and worship primarily, so we have to maintain that decorum and that respect. Yeah, okay. All else then can be put with that and alongside that without issues.
Okay. Did you watch now I want to know, it's unfair of me to bring in anyone's, I'm just a letter I read out earlier of a funeral where there was music and dancing and singing and hooping and pop stars. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Noel, good to meet you, Margaret. That's Father Noel Campbell. Thank you for your service, Noel. Anya, are you any the wiser?
Well, I think the majority of people, if you really listen carefully, have a problem with this, with no eulogy.
The blanket ban,
a blanket ban, as that last man said. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand the photographs, as a number of people have said. The people in Meath certainly don't understand it. Now, I sang at funerals for 40 years, Joe, and I never heard anybody giving a eulogy and using bad language, but I haven't sung in them in the last 10
years. Well, have you had a eulogy that went on for an hour?
Never in my life.
Okay.
Never.
Okay. Okay,
because,
Anya,
you know,
okay.
No,
okay.
I haven't, Joe. Look, thanks so much, Joe.
Okay.
I want to raise
got an incredible response. Good to meet him, good Anya. I have to read out a statement from Dublin City Council about the opening callers where she came across human excrement on Grafton Street on Sunday at lunchtime. And she put it in the context of rubbish strewn everywhere before that. Dublin City Council tries to have all streets within the city at grade A standard. City streets are a live environment. Thousands of people traversing them and litter will naturally accumulate. City Council operates 24-hour cleansing service, 3 shifts within the central commercial district. Streets are serviced multiple times every day, both manually and with mechanical sweepers, and 300 rubbish bins in the city centre as emptied as required. A nighttime street washing programme also occurs 6 nights per week. Public toilets operated by the City Council are available on Stephen's Green. I hope that cleans things up. Owen McLaughlin, producer Ray Darcy, is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. For fabulous ideas and great savings, the winter sale is not to be missed. Now on, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.